This is Theremin 30. 30 minutes of Theremin music, news, events, and interviews with a new episode about every 30 days. Now, here's your host from Denver, Colorado, USA, Rick Reed.
Hello, welcome to Theremin 30. I came up with the name of the show to indicate that it's 30 minutes long and comes out every 30 days. But you've probably noticed that I don't always stick to that 30-day rule. So here it is, the beginning of July, and I didn't even get a June episode out at all. So to make it up to you, I'm going to break my other rule and let this episode go beyond the 30-minute mark. In fact, this show is going to be longer than two regular episodes. This will give me a chance to play a few really cool longer tracks that wouldn't easily fit into the usual episode format. My special guests this month are the Atlanta, Georgia-based ambient group Duet for Theremin and Lapped Steel. And later in the show, I'll fill you in on the Theremin Academy worldwide online event set for July 24th and 25th. So let's get this supersized edition of Theremin 30 started with a new track featuring UK thereminist Alex Mazanovich. This group called New Note Orchestra is made up of musicians who use their talents to help each other with recovery from addiction. They'll be putting on a live streaming concert this first weekend of July, July 4th, from Brighton, England. Tickets are free, and there's a link to all the details in the Theremin 30 calendar at theremin30.com. From their Kind Rebellion album, here's New Note Orchestra with a track called Astral's Journey, Part 1. Thank you.
We care for our friends and family. We freely offer kindness and help to neighbours and strangers in times of trouble. And such care is the basis for friendship and trust. Without this generosity of heart, any degree of humane society would simply not be possible.
And such care is the basis for friendship and trust. Without this generosity of heart, any degree of humane society would simply not be possible.
We started the show with New Note Orchestra featuring Alex Mazanovich. They'll be playing live online on July 4th. After that, I played El Mensaje del Rio, or The Message of the River, from the newest album by Paulo Pascual called Modulador de Ondas. Be sure to check out the music video on the Theremin 30 YouTube playlist. Coming up next, I'll take a look at the Theremin 30 calendar of Theremin events, and I'll play a supersized Theremin track from Chris Conway. So stay tuned. The Theremin 30 podcast is supported by affiliate programs with Eargasm Earplugs, eBay, Reverb, and Zounds. When you follow these links and banners on our website, a portion of any purchases you make will help keep this show in the ether. So start shopping at theremin30.com. It's time now for the Theremin 30 calendar. A look at Theremin-related concerts, workshops, and other events happening around the world in the weeks ahead. The first weekend of July, Dorit Kreisler will be participating in the Heroines of Sound Festival in Berlin. That's actually already started, but there are some events left, so if you're in the area, be sure to check that out. As I mentioned, New Note Orchestra presents a live-streaming concert from Brighton, England on July 4th. Leaf Rapids will be performing at the Calgary Folk Music Festival on July 23rd. Itch.io plays the Denver Sculpture Park on July 24th. Yoko Onishi presents another RCA Theremin Evening on her YouTube channel on July 24th. The Worldwide Theremin Academy takes place on July 24th and 25th. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. Stranger Strings presents a free lunchtime concert in London, England on July 30th. Marla Goodman presents a summer series of Theremin recitals from her front porch in Bozeman, Montana, USA on most Thursday evenings. Lydia Kavanagh continues her Sunday evening workshop series, and Shelley Ung hosts a couple of new episodes of her music and chat show this month on YouTube. For details about all of these events and more, check out the interactive calendar on theremin30.com. And if you have an event that you'd like me to put on the calendar, send me all the details through the website, Twitter, or Facebook. Now here's another new recording that was just too long to play in a regular episode. From Chris Conway's Splendid Isolation album, here's a song called A Genteel Conversation.
Thank you.
That was A Genteel Conversation by Chris Conway. It's from his new album, Splendid Isolation, which is made up of improvisations he recorded in his home studio in Leicester, England during pandemic lockdown. To learn more about Chris and the other artists in this episode, visit theremin30.com and click on their names. Later in this extended edition of the Theremin 30 podcast, I'll preview the 2021 Worldwide Theremin Academy. And right after this break, I'll visit with the members of Duet for Theremin and Lap Steel. So stick around. Hey, this is Rick Reed, producer and host of the Theremin 30 podcast. Did you know that you can advertise with Theremin 30? You can place banner ads on the website or even get a commercial played right here in the middle of the show. It's a great way to promote products, services, and events to the Theremin community. And honestly, this show does not have a huge audience, at least not yet. But that means it doesn't cost much to get involved. You can find rates and details at theremin30.com. As you might imagine, Duet for Theremin and Lap Steel is a two-member band consisting of a thereminist, Scott Berland, and a lap steel guitar player, Frank Schultz. I've played their spacey ambient music a couple of times on previous episodes. They have a brand new album out, so I invited them on the show to talk about that and about their creative collaboration process. Scott and Frank, thank you so much for being on Theremin 30.
Thank you, Rick.
Let's start with you, Frank. Tell me how you describe your band and its music to people who aren't familiar with Duet for Theremin and Lap Steel.
I start out with the name and see what kind of look I get from the person I'm talking to and go from there.
Do you have a certain label that you like for the kind of music you create?
It's improvised music, but more towards the ambient side of things.
And Scott, why don't you tell us how the two of you got together?
I've known Frank for a long time. We were involved 16 years ago, maybe, in a large group improv session with 15 people on stage. We knew each other. We said hello and got set up. And Frank was playing lap steel and I had my theremin. And Frank had trouble hearing himself. And there was a bass player standing directly in front of me. And so I was having a hard time getting any kind of signal out of the theremin. We were both a little disappointed in the outcome of that. But a few months later, Frank called and said, hey, would you be interested in trying the lap steel and theremin together? And I thought that was a great idea. And so we started practicing probably early in 2006. We'd get together every couple of weeks and we were both learning our instruments at that time. I was really a newbie at the theremin and Frank was learning the lap steel, and also we were using Ableton Live to add effects to our sounds, and so we were learning how that worked, and then things went on from there.
I think people would know the lap steel from country music or maybe Hawaiian music, and one of my favorite guitarists, Steve Howe, uses a steel guitar on some of the Yes recordings. It sounds different when you play it. I listen to your albums, and I'm not sure if I'm hearing guitar or not.
Yeah, exactly. I never learned how to properly play lap steel guitar. So as Scott learned the theremin, I learned the lap steel. I learned in a style that suited what we were doing together versus learning the instrument traditionally. So I think that's probably why it sounds the way it sounds.
We have these long, sustained, beautiful, shimmering sorts of sounds, and I assume that it's difficult to hold a note that long. How do each of you do that with your respective instruments?
It's challenging to sustain notes for a long time, just because of the way the theremin is played. So that's where effects come in, and I can, you know, set a long delay or a reverb and play around with that, and if I have to adjust my hand that's controlling the pitch, I can do that to try to nail the pitch.
For the lap steel, are you using an e-bow or a bow wand or some other sort of device to excite the strings?
I have used the e-bow probably 10 times in the last 15 years.
Oh.
To me, it gives a weird harmonic ring that doesn't suit my lap steel very well. Mm-hmm. But I've been playing a little bit around with that and muting the back part of the string, so it doesn't seem to vibrate quite as much, and the sound's a little bit better. So working on that a little bit. Primarily, though, it's the use of a violin bow.
Oh, okay.
Or effects.
I tried out lap steel a little bit last year. I got an inexpensive lap steel to try to imitate what I thought you guys were doing, and I never could figure it out.
Trade secret right there.
I should have you explain how you improvise the music.
There's really not a lot of discussion, but we typically rehearse at Frank's house, and his stuff is set up. I show up, set my stuff up, and we start playing. There's really no discussion about what we're going to do. We start playing, and then it may go for 15 minutes. It may go for an hour and a half. Frank will set the tone, whatever that is, whether it's a rhythmic thing or a drone, or he's bowing the lap steel. And then I'll just listen for a minute and then try to decide what's going to work with that. And then we just go from there. I can change it up, and then Frank can react to that or vice versa. And next thing we know, it's 45 minutes later.
Do you set up some rules for yourself so that you don't repeat a motif or an effect that you've already done on another recording?
I don't. I tend to use the same types of effects that I've used for a while and just try and tweak those, but nothing really pre-planned.
You have a new album out right now. I'm going to attempt to pronounce it. I think it's called Oumuamua. Is that close?
So close. It's Oumuamua.
Say that again.
Oumuamua.
And what does that mean, and how did you come up with that title?
Oumuamua is a Hawaiian word, and it translates as messenger from afar arriving first. It was the first interstellar, what would you call it, Frank? First interstellar...
Object
was
to come into our solar system.
Oh, so this is that long space rock.
Yes.
That was in the news, what, a year or two ago?
It was observed in 2017.
And did you come up with a title first and then created music to fit the title, or was it the other way around?
We created the music first and then went through the recordings and then decided how to handle those as a project. Which includes titles and themes and that kind of thing.
You have one of the tracks as kind of a single, Hector. You have a music video out for that?
We do. We have music videos out for Vesta and for Hector.
And I say kind of a single because both of those tracks are about 8 minutes long, so it's not your typical single.
Right.
We have trouble with the 3 to 4 minute scenario. The 4 minute mark is just about when things start to take shape and kind of make sense, so we go with that. It's hard to make all the things happen in 4 minutes.
I've been to a few ambient shows, and I performed in an ambient show once, and it's definitely a different experience than going to a rock concert. I was curious about how it feels to be performing live for an audience that's drifting off into hypnosis as you play.
I go back to our first performance, which was in December of 2006, and I think it struck both of us how quiet the audience was. You could hear a pin drop out there. It doesn't happen every time, but when it does, it's just nice. It shows a level of respect for the music, but it also just helps us to not be distracted by people talking or opening up beer cans. And we've played rock clubs. We've had to deal with that, but also we've played the same venue and have had a super quiet crowd. Our preference would be to have people just more of in that sort of dream state where they're just letting the music flow through them and are just listening.
I think for me, that was the first grouping that I've played in that was this ambient or this drone-y. At first, I think I was a little concerned that there wasn't much visual enticement for the audience. And I guess that can play one of two ways. Either one way, hopefully good way, is people just focus on the music. And so from that, we started showing some film. And I think the film actually helped folks not try and either figure out what we're doing or wonder why we're not moving. A filmmaker here in Atlanta, Robbie Land, has cut quite a few films for us to take on tour and actually project live when we're in town. I think we've just have gotten accustomed to folks that come out to the show and they don't really expect a rock and roll show. Uh-huh. And we certainly don't provide that.
So how can people find out about your new album and any upcoming live performances?
The best place to listen to our music and purchase our music is through Bandcamp. And that's DFTALS duet.bandcamp.com, and then through our website, which is duetonline.net, and that's typically where we have our tour schedule or upcoming shows listed.
You can purchase digital copies of our music through, I think, Apple Music and Amazon and all that stuff, and as well as on Bandcamp. But if you want to go straight to the source, then Bandcamp's the place to go.
This new album is a double album, and the CD is limited to 125 copies, so that's a collector's item. And I do want to mention that your most recent album before this new one came out in the height of the pandemic lockdown, and you donated proceeds from the sales to support some nonprofit organizations in the Atlanta area.
Yeah, there was an organization called Giving Kitchen, which helped food service workers during the pandemic to help pay rent or bills or with health situations or health insurance. And then there was another organization, Atlanta Musicians Emergency Relief Fund, which provided help to musicians in those same ways.
That's really a great and kind gesture, and also it sets a good example for other artists who might be able to do something similar.
We were pleased to be able to do that, and also just to be able to donate some money to organizations that benefited many of our friends and acquaintances here in Atlanta.
Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me. And I've been a fan for a few years. I really enjoy your music, and it was great to meet Scott a couple years ago at Moogfest.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for listening.
We appreciate your support over the years, for sure. Absolutely. Love the podcast.
Let's listen now to something from their new album that would be too long to play in anything but this supersized episode of Theremin 30. Here's Duet for Theremin and Lap Steel with a track called Vesta. That was Vesta by Duet for Theremin and Lap Steel. Check out the music video for that track on the Theremin 30 YouTube playlist. Up next, I've got more details on the Worldwide Theremin Academy, so stay tuned. Theremin Academy is an ongoing series of coordinated workshops held each year in France, Germany, England, and Switzerland. Past editions of Theremin Academy have featured workshops and performances by some of the most accomplished professional thereminists from around the world. Of course, the global pandemic forced the cancellation of most Theremin Academy events last year and the first half of this year, so the organizers have come up with a worldwide Theremin Academy that you can attend from your own home. It'll take place on July 24th and 25th, and it'll run continuously for 38 hours, so you can drop in whenever it's convenient and stay for an hour or all day. And everything will be recorded, so if you need to, sleep or something, you can watch the parts you missed. There will be performances and workshops conducted online from Europe, the USA, and Australia, covering a wide range of musical styles, and there will be sessions for both beginning and advanced players. There will also be presentations on theremin history and technology, including a session just for Moog Theremini owners. The whole event will take place live over Zoom, and you'll have the chance to play in a live theremin ensemble with other musicians from around the world. It looks to be a great couple of days of learning and fun. If you play theremin, I'm sure you're aware it can be difficult to meet and collaborate with other theremin players, so this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us. And I should mention that I'm not involved in planning or organizing the event in any way, but I just think it's going to be a really cool event, and I hope to see you there. The registration fee for the event is £30, and you can get the details and the full schedule online at theremin.academy. There's no .com in that. It's just theremin.academy. And with that in mind, I'm going to finish off this supersized episode of the Theremin 30 podcast with an extended set of recent releases from three of the scheduled presenters and performers at the Worldwide Theremin Academy:
Lydia Kavanaugh, Alicia Rostovska, and Miles Brown.
I'll have track titles and other details after the set, or you can follow along in this month's show notes at theremin30.com.
Thank you.
We started that final set with In Whims of the Weather for Two Theremins and Accordion by Lydia Kavanagh from the album In a Nick of Time. That track features thereminists Lydia Kavanagh and Trautonia Capra with button accordionist Roman Yusupe. The album was recorded back in 2013 but was just released earlier this year. Then I played Mutation with Alicia Rostovska on theremin, Sergei Leitov on electric saxophone, and Vladimir Golakov on electric vibraphone from their new album At 9 p.m. After Lockdown. The trio recorded this live improvised performance in Moscow on August 1st, 2020, the first day after the lifting of lockdown restrictions there. Then we ended that set with an excerpt from Transmogrification, a new album by the Narcoleptor, an experimental collaboration between Australian thereminist Miles Brown and harpist Mary Dumani.
Lydia, Alicia, and Miles will be participating in the Worldwide Theremin Academy in late July.
Check out this month's show notes for a link to more details and the full schedule of workshops and performances. And that wraps up this special edition of the Theremin 30 podcast. I'll be back around the 1st of August with a brand new episode in the more fun-sized 30-minute format.
I'll have new music from Kevin Sinnott, Japan's 100-member Matryomen Ensemble Mobilin Da, Steve Stroud, and maybe you. And one final note, if you've been enjoying the podcast, please help me make it grow by leaving a review on the Apple Podcast website, by recommending this show to your friends, purchasing logo gear in the merch store, or by sending me a small gift to help cover my expenses. Also, consider advertising on the show if you have an album, a workshop, or some other event that you'd like to promote. You can visit the website for more details about all of that, or send me a note through Facebook or Twitter. Also, please do what you can to support the Theremin recording artists, of course. This podcast couldn't exist without their talent and generosity. Until next time, I'm your host, Rick Reed. Mind your control zone, and we'll see you again soon.
You've been listening to the Theremin 30 podcast. Visit Theremin 30 on the web at theremin30.com.